Set your spirit on fire and let Dr. Lawana Steins guide you to a life of purpose and fulfillment. To reach Dr. Lawana Steins, call 760-315-1967. That's 760-315-1967. Or visit atouchfromabove.org. And now, here's your A Touch From Above host, Dr. Lawana Steins.
God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me. Well, 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 have you been up to the Prayer Mountain? You know, in the summertime, it's so beautiful. I was thinking about, do you realize that I think the next Sunday is going to be 80 degrees? Can you believe that? It's kind of funny. When you're up at the mountain, sometimes the weather changes. It was 50 degrees, then it was 60 degrees, then now it's 80 degrees, then it's down to 50 degrees. It's like, make up your mind. But you know what? What I love about the Prayer Mountain is that no matter what the temperature is, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Amazing. The trees are blooming. The birds are singing. Don't you just love getting away and going up to the mountains? You know, a church alive is worth a drive. I tell people that all the time. We have a young lady that comes from Calipatria. Do you realize where Calipatria is? And there's another one that comes from Calexico. Calexico, 2 hours away. And she comes, you know, she doesn't come every Sunday, but I'm hoping to have her come sometime and share her testimony. What a powerful testimony. Oh my gosh. It's just heart gripping where God brought her from. But she comes up every, sometimes twice a month, up to the Prayer Mountain. And the other young lady from Calipatria comes up. And she's actually on our worship team. Amazing, anointed young lady. Plays the flute and the guitar and just loves God and brings her shofar. And what a blessing she is. We have a couple of people that come from Point Loma. Some come from, trying to think of where some of these places I don't even know. Pass Vista. It's not Mira Mesa. It's San Marcos. San Marcos, Vista. We've had a few from Oceanside, downtown. Every week we have people that come from Barrio Logan, National City, Chula Vista, Point Loma, Poway, and of course through Ramona. But people come up all the time. So I really want to encourage you to come up for a Sunday service. We have a wonderful young lady who just started coming up with a good friend of hers. And they come all the way, I think, from Orange County. No, Alpine. They come from Alpine. And they were there this last Sunday. And they said, you know what? This is our church. We're going to make this our church. What a beautiful drive. You just, that time to think and pray. And I thought, amen. So if you have not been up to the Prayer Mountain, I really want to encourage you to come on out. Sunday morning, people come to the Prayer Mountain for several reasons. Let me just share. Number one, people come up for Sunday service all the time on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And then others come just to pray. Sometimes they come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Some of them come Friday, and then they stay Friday night, Saturday night at the Prayer Mountain in one of the little cabins, pray and fast. And then they leave with their team early, early Sunday morning. So 1 minute the parking lot's filled, and then by 7:30 on Sunday, the parking lot's empty, and then it's filled again for church service. So it's kind of nice. You know, people come and go, and they're there to pray. They're there to pray. Pastors bring their leaders, prayer teams bring their prayer warriors, and they pray and they fast. And we have a group, I think 12, 14 women coming this week, and they'll be praying and fasting, and they'll stay around for the service this Sunday. Then we have another group that's coming, I think 30-some people that are coming. And the same thing with them. Some of them will come, some of them will stay, some of them will go back to their home church, and that's okay. It's a prayer mountain. It's 25 amazing, beautiful acres. We have our Joshua cabin, our Caleb cabin, our Africa cabin, our veteran cabin. We have our Abraham cabin, our Sarah cabin, our Isaac, our Israel cabin, our Sarah cabin, our Daniel cabin. We have our upper room cabin, and we have our Mary and Martha cabin. And we have a beautiful big fire pit there where people, you know, when they come from the city, they always want a fire in the fire pit. Because when they come from the city, you can't really have that. But in the mountain, we can have that. We have a nice big fire pit. So we make sure the wood is stacked there. And oh my goodness, just to hear them sing and play and praise God around that fire pit. Oh, it just touches your heart. It's just awesome. Well, I want to share with you about leadership. You know, so many times we don't understand that leadership is shaped through a relationship and prayer. Prayer. When you think of leadership, let me ask you a question. What do you think of? Well, when I think of leadership, I think about influence. You lead someone to the measure that, to the measure of what you are leading them to. Who are you? Are you leading them? And sometimes you think, oh my gosh, I can't be. No. Well, hold on here. When God puts his hand on a plain, ordinary person whom he has destined for leadership, something amazing happens. That person is given mountain matching abilities. And when God puts his hand on them, oh my goodness, there is no stopping them. It doesn't matter who it is. You know, the young redhead boy by the name of David. David with his slingshots. You know those. You know the story with Goliath. You know, what about President Lincoln, who learns the Bible by candlelight and, you know, wasn't very educated but knew the Word of God? What about Nehemiah in the Bible? What about you and I? You know, God motivates leaders to accomplish goals, to keep working, to pass all the obstacles that may try to stop all that God said to do. And that's exactly what happened in Nehemiah. You know, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3, "And they said to me, 'The survivors who are left from captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire.'" You know, what happened? Number one, there was great distress. Nehemiah, you know, he feels the pain God puts on the heart of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is burdened by this situation. You know, when I went to Korea, I was in Seoul, Korea, back and forth. I went back and forth for over 13 years, and I lived in Seoul, Korea. 안녕하세요. I lived in Seoul, Korea for about 1 year, but I traveled back and forth, back and forth. And when I realized that their prayer mountain that they had, I had never heard, actually, of a prayer mountain. And when I went to their prayer mountain and I realized that through prayer, they literally has turned a nation that was once Buddhist, had turned to Christianity. I thought, my goodness, the walls of prayer in our nation had been torn down. And when they offered me to stay there, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that God took me there, not to keep me there, but that God wanted me to come back to America and to build a place of prayer. You know, the Word of God, you know, you have to understand there is so much power in prayer, and yet prayer is the least thing that most people do. It's the bottom on the totem pole. You know, sin runs like a wildfire, even in the body of Christ. Now, don't get mad at me now. You know, but who is bold in this world to stand for what is right? You know, when you read through the Word of God and you read through Ezekiel, and you read how Daniel stood in the midst of those that wanted to come against him, and you see Isaiah, who stood strong, and even Job in the midst of great trials and tribulation. You know, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, "And so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, and I mourned for many days. I was fasting before the Lord of heaven." You see, sometimes, I hate to say this, but there are many, 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 many believers out there that don't care about the condition of our nation. They don't care about the condition of the body of Christ in the United States of America. I don't know about you, but I am burdened. We need more on fire and great examples of Jesus Christ today in America. A leader in the body of Christ does not just look to their own interest. And Nehemiah did not look to his own interest. Nehemiah just didn't say, it's me and no more, it's four and no more. No. You know, you have to understand, you know, a leader has clear recognition of a need. Nehemiah knew that there was a need in Jerusalem. He knew that if he did not do something, that nobody else had the problem. Nobody else had the burden to do it. God placed it upon his heart. A leader goes a step beyond recognition of the problem. You know, a good leader is personally concerned with the need. And Nehemiah felt the load of that problem. And Nehemiah wept before God. He wept, he prayed, he fasted. And guess what? Then a leader gets up and does something about it. And that's exactly what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah, number one, what he did was repent for the people. Why was Nehemiah repenting for the people? Because the people were about their own lives. They didn't care. They had gone back, but the walls had been burned down. The gates had been burned. The walls had been torn down. You know, and a lot of them, they just said, okay, we're fine. We're okay. But Nehemiah said, no, we got to do something about this. You see, Nehemiah was a great leader, but he thought that he wasn't a great leader. And no matter, you know, you got to make up your mind to get the job done. And that's exactly what Nehemiah had to do. But Nehemiah, let me read to you about Nehemiah. He says here in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11, O Lord, I pray, please, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. In Nehemiah chapter 2, reading in verse 1, And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, and the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when the wine was before him, that I took the wine and I gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, Why is your face sad, Nehemiah? Since you are not sick, this is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. And I said to the king, May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad? When the city and the place of my father's tombs lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Then the king said to me, What do you request, Nehemiah? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, How long will your journey be? And when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me. And I sent him a time. Furthermore, I said to the king, If it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the Jordan, that they must permit me to pass through until I come to Judah. Let me stop there. Do you understand what's happening with Nehemiah? Nehemiah is so burdened. You see, when I was in Korea, I was so burdened for America. I thought to myself, here is America, who was once founded on Christianity, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All of our national anthem, God shed his grace on me. All of our national anthems had God. Our money in God we trust. And then all of a sudden, prayer is taken out of school. In the major courthouses, the Ten Commandments are taken away. All of a sudden, The Bibles are taken out of school. The prayers taken out of school. We're watching as our nation is rising up in the lies of homosexuality, transgender. We're watching as the vile corruption continually increases in our nation. You see, the only thing that's going to change our nation is through prayer. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the master's hand, and like a river, he causes it to flow however it will. You see, unless God gets hold of the hearts of his people, and his people begin to pray and cry out, I often wondered what makes the people from the third world country always come to the prayer mountain. Well, I'll tell you why. An entire group of Eritreans. Eritrean is the upper region of Africa. If you look at a map, all the way to the very top. Well, Eritrea was once an amazing, and still is, a beautiful city, just like San Diego. The ocean, the beauty, the buildings, everything. But you know what? The Christians were greatly persecuted. One day, just like that, boom, it changed. And the Christians were being persecuted and killed in the groves. I mean, by the hundreds. 250,000 Eritreans had to leave their homes, their churches, with only the things that they could carry. Their babies, their bundle of stuff that they would need. Can you imagine 250,000 in one day up and leaving? Because if they didn't, they were being killed, they were being burnt, they were being slaughtered, they were being cut to shreds with machetes, pastors were being hauled, and many of them still today are in prison, in the Eritrean prison, all because of the name of Jesus. If you think that this can't happen to the United States of America, I got news for you. Our borders have lost their walls. We are watching all kinds, and I'm not against, and trust me, I am not against anyone coming into our land. Just do it right. But when you have all these people coming in who are of Muslim, who are anti-Jesus, and they're coming in by not just the hundreds, but they're coming in by the hundreds of thousands. Don't think that this land cannot be overturned. In one moment of time, we can see how things are starting to change. We're watching the wickedness of our government. We're watching where, I cannot even imagine, a nation that once clung to the Word of God is now, you have a half of the Christians that are fighting for abortion rights. Can you believe that? Half of the Christians say, it's a woman's right. Excuse me, what kind of Christian are you? You're in Christian by word only. You're not a Christian Christian. Christian means Christ in the heart of man. And when Christ is in, you know what? Thou shalt not kill. What is the commandment of God? You see, we have to remember that our nation is on the brink of something very terrible. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I also know the power of prayer. I also know that God can take out the wickedness out of our nation in one moment. Why? Because he tells us, he said, when God's people humble themselves and repent, that's the key word right there, humble themselves, repent, number three, turn away from their wicked ways, and cry out to him in prayer, I will heal their land. You see, we have to get to that place where it's Christianity is not just a bunch of hype. Do you know what I mean by that? Bunch of rock and roll and hype and yeah, you know, yeah, bless God, brother. Women, I love you, but you're dressing like a harlot in the house of God. Your mini skirts are worse than those that are out there in the streets that are walking and the men are paying for it. Hello, don't get mad at me. Your boo-boos are sticking out. Somebody's looking and saying, oh, excuse me, your puppies are showing. You know, good night. What has happened to the body of Christ? Well, we have allowed the world to sneak in and infiltrate. You know, it's like the Trojan horse that snuck into the camp there. And the enemy has snuck into the body of Christ. And you have to understand, Nehemiah saw that. Nehemiah saw that in Jerusalem. And Nehemiah said, you know what? We've got to do something about this. But we have a generation today where so many are afraid to speak the truth. Why are you afraid to speak the truth? If we don't speak the truth, then how can people be set free? How can people walk in the deliverance? You see, you have to understand, Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem, and he went back with a mind to work. And I love when Nehemiah says here in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 16, those who built the wall and those who carried the burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand they held a weapon. You see, our weapon is this word. This word is powerful. It's a double-edged sword piercing to the hearts of men and women. And we have to, God is looking for some Nehemiahs. God is looking for both men and women who will rise up like never before and take charge of what this word says and begin to proclaim it and teach it and stand against the lying compromise of what we're seeing in the church today. You and I have to stand. I met somebody the other day and was sharing about Jesus. And you know what? They had been living with their boyfriend forever and ever. And I said, excuse me, are you a Christian? They said, yes. I said, well, what are you doing living? I said, are you living? I just flat out, are you having sex with your boyfriend? And she turned beet red. I said, it's a really easy question to answer. Yes or no. Are you fornicating? I said, okay, obviously from that you're fornicating. I said, the Bible says no fornicator will inherit the kingdom of heaven. You know what she told me? How dare you judge me? You're judging me. You're not supposed to judge. Can I tell you what the Apostle Paul said? He said, take the plank. Jesus said this. Take the plank out of your eye before you judge the other person. Now, if you're fornicating, you can't judge that situation. But if you quit fornicating, you can judge that situation and just look at them and say, you know what? You need to stop it and repent. Get your heart right. There are so many out there today that think that, you know what? Don't judge me because, you know what? You're not following God's word. You need to follow God's word and thank God for Nehemiah who went back. And you know what? No matter who was mocking Sambalot, Tobiah, and all those that were mocking and made fun of him and tried to bring a conspiracy against him. You know what? If you're going to stand, get a backbone, because no matter what happens, people will always come against you. You know, I'm on television on Sunday mornings, and this last Sunday morning, somebody called in our prayer line and said, you're the reason I don't go to church because you keep preaching against sin. Well, that's funny. And then another guy calls in and goes, get out the TV, get out the TV, get out the TV, get out the TV. He said that about 20 times. Well, what is it that offends them? The word of God offends people. Why does it offend? Because the word of God is a sword. It goes way down deep into the heart of man, and God is wanting to change you. Let's pray. Jesus, change me. Forgive me, Lord, for compromising. I am sorry, Lord. I need to rise up. Lord, make me a Nehemiah. Help me to go back and reestablish and build the walls of our nation back up through prayer. Help me, Lord, to separate myself and maybe go up to the prayer mountain and pray and cry out, Father, I am so sorry. I have sinned against you. Please forgive my compromise. Please forgive my sin. Be my Savior, my rock, and my refuge in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You said that prayer, do something with it. Get up and come up to the prayer mountain on Sunday morning. Visit our website at touchfromabove.org. I love you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Luana Steins. Have you read her book, A Mother's Story? It's a must read, a heart-gripping true story, a murdered husband, a single mother, and a fight with cancer. For your support of any amount, you'll receive her book. Send your support to A Touch From Above, P.O. Box 2800, Ramona, California 92065, or give online at atouchfromabove.org.
Are you distracted? Seems like everything gets in the way? Come to A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain, 25 beautiful acres, Walk up to the cross or relax in a small private cabin to pray. Bring your leaders to pray. At Prayer Mountain, God answers prayer. Even Jesus had to get away to pray. Call today and make your reservation, 760-315-1967. Your answer is just a prayer away. atouchfromabove.org. Like the ravages of a flood, but I call on the name of Jesus and the power of his blood. I have victory over Satan.
Are you discouraged, not seeing the power of God moving in the church? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is powerful, his word is living, his healing is of today. Come join us at A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain. Dr. Luana preaches every Sunday, 10 a.m. A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain is located at 16145 Highway 67, Ramona, California, 92065. Come and experience the power of God. Oh,